Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Dr. Ronnie Kurtz, assistant professor of systematic theology. How you been, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Provis, the coffee shop, doing okay?
Yeah, man. We're trying to get things going.
Trying to get things rolling.
That's right.
So you have said recently that you don't listen to podcasts.
I almost never.
Okay. So,
don't follow after me.
No
listeners.
True crime podcast,
none.
Nothing like that.
No. The closest I get is if like, I really love a fiction book. Okay. I'll listen to a few episodes, people talking about that book.
Oh, episodes of somewhat like a book.
Like a book podcast. That's right.
Or something like that. I got you.
But there's none that I reoccurringly listen to.
Okay. There's a true crime. My wife and I are kind of into true crime stuff.
Okay.
Like we don't go deep, like go to the conferences or anything. That's kind of, those people are weird.
Didn't even know that happened.
But like we watch. Yeah. There's conventions, true crime conventions and things.
You just partake in it.
There's a fandom, I guess. Yeah, so we dabble. Like, we watch the ones...
I'm pretty sure crime is not something you're supposed to be dabbling
48 hours. Well, you know, you got to pick up tips.
That's right,
No, actually, the other night we were watching one of those, like, Dateline or something, and, you know, it's always, like, the spouse or something. And then they're also, like, they always think they're somehow... They've committed the perfect crime.
Mm-hmm.
And... Between DNA, cameras everywhere, cell phone tracking, loose lips. I mean, it is virtually impossible. In fact, the only way to get away with something like that is just pure luck. You cannot plan your way out of getting away with murder.
Yeah.
And all these people, instantly get caught. Well, I've thought about it from the level of like, who are these idiots who think I'm the one who's going to be able to murder my
now,
spouse.
Now, real quick, remember last episode, if listeners can remember, I said, or maybe it was two episodes ago now, but I said something like, I want listeners to guess what Jared's going to bring up in the banter. If anyone guessed murder.
Yeah, we're thinking murder.
You win.
Murder's not even where I was going to go. It kind of went there. But there's this case that like I have been interested in for probably 10 years now or more, and there's been some renewed interest in it. It's not a murder case, or is it? We don't know. It's a disappearance. So I'm going to tell you about this and see if it piques your interest at all. So there's a fellow named Brian Schaefer. He was a college student at Ohio State University. He went out with some friends one night. They went to a bar. There is video footage, surveillance cameras, right? Or not surveillance, just like security cameras. Like of him and his friends going up the escalator into this bar in downtown Columbus. He comes out briefly. All this is on camera. Comes out briefly, talks to some friends, goes back in. The thing closes at 2:30. They have this footage, the police do, of every person who went in coming out except for Brian Schaefer, and he has disappeared. They have no idea where he is. It was like the guy vanished into thin air. So for... I think this was for 20 years now. I think it was 2006 when this happened. For 20 years, there's been what happened to Brian Schaefer, and there's all these different theories. Like, he, you know, somebody murdered him in that bar and hit him in the walls or something, and he somehow wandered out some other way. He ran away to start a new life. You know, there's like all of these different threads, and I just find like, the vanishing type stuff really intriguing.
Yeah.
There's like the mystery of it.
Yeah.
Where did they go? How did they get out?
What if he's listening to this podcast right now?
Brian, if you're listening,
leave a good
review. Your family needs to know you're okay. No, what's really sad is his family. So his mother had just died of cancer before this happened. 2 years after this happened, his dad died in a freak accident. A windstorm knocked a tree in his backyard and a tree limb fell on him and he died. So he has one brother, and his brother essentially lost his whole immediate family within the span of 2.5 years.
Oh,
so,
my word.
Including Brian, because he's just gone. They did searches everywhere, the landfill, like all the surrounding area, and they're just trying to figure out, like, everyone went in this one way, including him, and they have the camera of every single person who went in coming out except for him.
I love your love of this.
And nobody knows where he is. I can see in your face... you're ready to move on.
Yeah, and you have zero interest,
like the UFO episode. I can't believe you're not intrigued by this.
It's awesome. That's
great. This is a very intriguing thing.
It is. It is intriguing, for sure. Okay. For sure.
Oh, brother. Maybe you'll be more animated by our subject today, which is when to leave a church.
Hey.
Brian Schaefer should have left that bar.
Oh, my.
You didn't think I was going to get there, did you? I didn't think I was going to get there. It just, like, landed on my lap.
That is insane. Yeah, if you do leave, don't leave Brandon, like this.
Yeah, do not vanish into thin air. I've had a few people vanish into thin air. You know,
really,
they just ghost you. Yeah.
When your name turns into a verb, it's never
they
good.
They pulled a Brian Schaefer. No, it's like, you know, they leave, but they don't, or they come in, but they don't leave, or something like that. Yeah. Let's talk about when to leave a church.
Let's talk about it. That might be like top five favorite.
Really?
I loved it. I was totally not digging the Brian Schaefer talk, but the transition I'm into. See,
I was like, man, this is dying. I need a better audience. Like, just on your face was like,
sorry, I should have had a better listening face. Sorry, but the transition got me. You were not getting me with the true crime, but man.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you what's not a crime.
Just because we're not talking about your coffee shop doesn't mean we can't talk about something else. All right.
That transition was not a crime, I'll tell you that.
Good. I like it. Yeah, you're going to get there. You're going places.
All right, when to leave a church.
Yeah, okay. Our culture is so, this is sort of my, the desire to have this subject matter. A lot of places, not every place, but we have so many options.
Mm-hmm.
There is 31 flavors of evangelicalism where we have a very consumeristic culture. Very high, you know, high premium placed on personal preferences, finding the church that's tailored just to me, the attractional paradigm, et cetera, that I feel like people do not see leaving a church as serious or significant as it actually is. We will leave for 100 different reasons when really there's probably only 3 or 4 or 5 that are acceptable, you know. I assume you agree with that.
Yes.
What, let's talk about just the impact. Like, what is the cultural impact on a church or just evangelicalism? I don't know. When you have sort of high transience based on preference.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so many things to cover, and this is such a good question. Let me cover it from two perspectives, from just like a church member and then a pastor.
Yeah.
Church member, I think you're just exactly right. The amount of reasons individuals will leave a church is astronomical. When I was teaching in Ohio, I'm teaching university students. Many of them are, I primarily taught juniors and seniors. Many of them are about to make major life decisions about jobs and where to move and what job to take and all of that stuff, like long-term planting their life kind of decisions. And I just constantly was begging them, let the local church be one of the factors by which you're making decisions. And it's wild how few of my students and how few adults have the local church as a deciding filter for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will pack up and move their entire family for a little league sports. Like they without question, like that sports club is better for my son, so I'm gonna move across town because of that sports club. Huh. And yet, like, the idea of like I'm gonna move across town to be a part of this particular church is just often not a category in people's heads. So back to your question, I think from the local church member's perspective, remember the kind of illustrations and analogies used for the church in scripture. Something like body. Like, we are a body, all members coming together, so that whenever someone leaves, we could talk about it. Obviously, it's analogous, and this could be taken too far. But as a minor amputation, and that's gonna hurt.
Yes.
Even if you think like, oh, that body part's kind of expendable, it's not. When parts are taken away from the body, it hurts. And there are obviously good reasons to have those things taken away at times. But there are many, many bad reasons. And then from a pastoral experience, this might sound like a pity party, and I'm not a pastor anymore, so I'm just speaking on behalf of pastors here, but it can take the wind out of your sails.
Oh, for sure.
In a way that is a gut punch that I don't think church members understand. And this is not even like a sinful. There's like sinful ways of like, oh, that church member left and I'm taking it personally for these reasons. Like, I'm equating my identity to the church. And yeah, that can be sinful. But even just non-sinful reasons, it can just feel like a gut punch where the wind is just taken out of your sails. And sometimes it comes like there's like four things going on. And then, of course, you get this text message today and you're just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know,
when you invested in somebody, yes. Especially, and not just like generally because you pastor the church or you preach or what have you, but like you've personally invested in someone, given them time that you didn't give to somebody else.
Yes.
And then you discover, you know, that they're wanting to move on or there's some, you know, issue they've changed their mind on or something. And I'm not even saying that no one, you know, that you can't do that or someone should do that, but it's just demoralizing.
Yes.
It's sort of like, oh, so should I have invested in somebody else? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the law, you know, it just, the exasperation, exactly right. It knocks the wind.
Yes.
Out of you. It's just so, so discouraging. I think, you know, sometimes it just arises from like the way, you know, you mentioned the body life of the church. I think for a lot of, you know, Christians, church is something I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a family to which I belong. It's what I do. And so, you know, even you can almost time exits from churches. There's such a transitional period when you're sort of between pastors or, you know, say you've got a new pastor, right? A new pastor, often there's usually a shift where people come because there's newness, but also people leave because it's not how it was. And it's just all of that kind of belies, reveals just how tenuous people's connection to a church is.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, it's one thing, I guess we'll talk about this shortly, but like, when is it okay to leave, right? But it would be one thing if the new guy showed up and was like, hey, guess what? I'm doing heresy now. You're like, well, of course you would leave.
Yeah, see you later.
But it's just like, oh, it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's
like, that guy needs you.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows how much my participation in church is based on a feeling, mm-hmm. a preference. You know, I certainly saw this in the Bible Belt when I was doing ministry there, this sort of season of change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even some data to back this up. Sally Morgenthaler had done some research on, particularly in kind of seeker churches, where the average tenure was like 4 to 6 years or something.
Wow.
Of families and churches. And it was really tied to life stages. So mm-hmm. parents are picking a church based on kids ministry, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to that church because they've got the stuff for kids that this other church doesn't. But then the kids sort of become teenagers at some point, and there's a church with a better youth group.
Mm-hmm.
I perceive that youth group is more exciting, dynamic, or it's just bigger. They'll have more friends, mm-hmm. whatever it is. You know, there's all, you know, sincere, maybe even reasons that are still shallow. And so we're going to go there now. Now the kids are out of the house and it's just mom and dad. And well, we've been doing church based on where our kids wanted to go because we really wanted our mm-hmm. kids to be involved. But now we can go wherever we want to go.
Where we want to go.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, we're picking it based on the music or we're picking it based on the message or, mm-hmm. Preaching style. And it's just, you know, underneath that is so, like, what is church? Well, it's not a family that I, like, covenant with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing I do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, obviously my interests might change and my preferences might change. So those are all kind of shallow, superficial, or just, yeah, less than deep reasons to leave. When should somebody leave? Like, when should somebody think, oh, I need to meet with a pastor and talk about this because I think this is not the right direction.
Yeah. I think we could kind of split reasons up into two categories.
Yeah.
Blatantly obvious categories that probably any listener can think of. We can talk about those. But then maybe a touch more nuanced of like, yeah, that could be a reason to leave. I think the blatantly obvious ones, like there's heresy going on, they're not preaching the Bible, they're preaching something against the Bible.
Yeah.
They've capitulated on a primary doctrine or even a secondary doctrine. Go back to listen to the triage episode. Even a secondary doctrine that you are convictional about. Those are all pretty blatantly obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Then there's less obvious reasons where it's like, okay, well, there is a vocational opportunity for our family. And we think it's within faithfulness for us to take this vocational opportunity, but it's going to mean we have to leave this church. Then we can talk about, okay, that can be permissible, but how to leave the church. Or like, hey, there is a there is
You're talking about moving away?
Yeah, moving away.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there's like a church in the city that I think I could uniquely serve.
I got you.
Could I be sent by this church to go serve that church? There are permissible reasons that are less like, okay, the pastor's preaching Nestorianism or something, you know, some blatant heresy. Like, well, of course, you need to get out of there. Or there's some like abuse going on or, you know, get out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's these like lesser reasons that maybe are less obvious that I still think are permissible and even good.
Yeah. I mean, you and I are in a culture or a culture, a context where there's a lot of ministry-minded,
mm-hmm.
There's an inundation with, maybe an oversaturation with ministry-minded young men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's feasible that you're at a church where the opportunities are fewer than the number of people wanting the opportunities to get teaching reps, ministry positions, leadership opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. When a young guy comes to me and says like, man, I love Liberty Baptist Church, but here I'm one of 26 guys who are, you know, wanting to get trained, et cetera. He's not mad.
No, yeah.
But he's like, there's a church, you know, on the other side of town here, or maybe even in Liberty. Yeah, and I don't know, there's a church over here. There's two guys there, and I could be put to work right away. If I go to that church, I can start helping out discipling. I can help the pastor. I can get trained more, you know. Man, that's an honorable conversation, yes. You know what I mean? He's not slamming the door on his way out. He's not bad mouthing. He's like, I want to be of use to the body.
Mm-hmm.
I aspire to pastoral ministry. I realize it's just harder here, and there's opportunities there. Like, that's a good conversation to have, and a good reason to leave. Certainly, if somebody's moving away, you know, they've been transferred, or you know, or they're just pursuing, you know, something in their career. You know, you can't be like, oh, you got to stay a member here. That's an obvious thing. But yeah, there are times I think that are maybe a little more shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership has made a decision that I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the time to leave the church? So it probably depends on what kind of decision that is.
Right.
Is it something that opens the door to sin or unchecked, you know, sin? Or is it just something you would not have made that decision?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a leadership decision. It's not a first order issue. They're changing the statement of faith or anything like that. But it's just, you know, a program that's being started or discontinued or something. I would not have done it that way. Is that a reason to leave a church? I would say no.
Yeah.
I think it's an opportunity to learn to trust mm-hmm. and submit to leadership. It may be the opportunity to have a conversation and say, yeah, hey, you know, maybe it's because it wasn't explained very well, you know, and say, hey, could you explain why you made the decision? But in the end, you know, we're not at a church, you know, premised on I'm going to agree with every single thing.
That's right.
You know,
and again, I mean, I made a joke about it earlier, but this really is where theological triage comes in.
Yeah.
If you have a secondary thing being violated, like your church is moving from, you know, baptizing believers only to now baptizing children. Okay, well, that's a secondary thing you can probably leave. But what you're saying is a great example of like, I don't know if I would have done it that way. But man, reversing what I said at the very beginning of this conversation, it is hard, and I can say this as someone who has felt it, it is hard to explain how much wind it puts in your sails when you have a member who says something like, hey, just so you know, I'm not fickle here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. If you do something sinful, I might be out.
Right, right.
If you do a couple of stupid things, I'll follow you through them. Yeah. Like, I might call you on them and tell you, hey, I would have done it differently, but my membership here is not hanging on by a thread. And you should know I want to be an easy sheep to pastor.
Yeah.
And I am generally for you. If you name that to your pastor, I mean, the kind of like, now you're the kind of person in my head where your name pops up on my phone and I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh no, what do they want? Like, what are they going to complain about?
Well, I think the author of Hebrews talking about submitting to your leaders, not giving them cause for groaning.
Exactly.
I've always translated that to mean a kind of like, I want to pursue a low maintenance kind of church membership. So before I became a pastor again, you know, I was a member at Liberty Baptist Church for a number of years. And this was my goal because I had been a pastor and I was like, I know the encouragement, the help it is to have members that I would call low maintenance because they're not complainers, and they may not even be, partners in some way. That's not like I'm, you know, they're in the inner circle or anything. They're just They're cheerful.
Yeah.
They're supportive.
Thankful for the church.
Yeah. And yeah. They're steady.
Yeah.
Right. They attend regularly. They speak well. They just
yeah.
Of the place. They're reliables. And I thought that's what I want to be, because that's like one of the most encouraging church members
and that rare. You
can have and very rare.
Yeah.
But you know, that's not the same thing as like, man, I'm gonna like turn a blind eye if you're in sin or something like that. And so, yeah, being a low maintenance church member, it also doesn't mean that like if something bad happens to you, you need pastoral care. Like you can't say, oh, I got to be low maintenance. I can't say anything.
No, no, no.
That's not what I mean. That, you know, you shouldn't
in fact, care for those low maintenance church members. It's like an honor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Let me walk with you.
Yeah. I just mean in terms of like your preferences, your support versus your, you know, your lack of support, criticism, you know, you know, that you're not straying too much. Oh, I got to check up on so-and-so mm-hmm. because they just keep wandering from the pen so mm-hmm. much, you know. No, but someone's just reliable. They're supportive. They're cheerful. They're, you know, that's to me is the kind of low maintenance that I sought to be. And I think that every church member should seek to be.
Yep.
They take responsibility for their own spiritual maturity. They're not constantly like, I'm not going to get by if I don't have access or
easily
fed. Yeah, they're easily fed, right? Yeah. There's a maturing there. You know, certainly another reason to leave a church would be someone has, you know, you've made a decision or you've changed your theological view.
Oh, yes.
That's
good. So the church hasn't changed, but you have
changed. Yeah. So like, I no longer believe that.
Yeah.
And it's a significant enough thing. It's a first or second order, certainly a first order, maybe, you know, calls for church discipline, but it's certainly a second order doctrine where it's, you know, fellowship is built around, unity mm-hmm. is built around in part these, you know, those views. That's something to alert, you know. And if I could give a word of advice, if you're sorting through this, you've not even made the decision yet, but you're exploring, let your pastors know.
Yes,
yeah, bring please. Them into the conversation. I'm tired of hearing from people on the way out the door,
yep.
hey, the reason I'm leaving is I've changed my mind on complementarianism and egalitarianism.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that had been something, maybe we couldn't have stopped you from changing your mind, but at least we could have had the conversation, read a book together, something. You're telling me after you've done this whole process in secrecy in some ways, at least, you know, a divorce from, you know, the body that you've committed to,
mm-hmm.
You know, the doctrinal standards here that you've committed to, you've done all of this in isolation or, mm-hmm. you know, insulated from them. Please have those conversations.
Yes.
Hey, I'm rethinking, or at least I'm having questions about this particular issue, or I'm studying this particular issue. Ask your pastor for resources. Hey, what are some books, you know, that might help me in this? Give me your best argument for this thing. Because you know, is there a desire to stay where you're at?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm That's exploring this because I'm not sure anymore. But I want to believe, you know, mm-hmm. in complementarianism. That would be the easiest thing to do in some ways. I don't want to leave the church. Like, that's the mindset to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring folks into the conversation. But let's say you get there. You change your mind on an organizing principle of your church. Hey, I've decided, you know, I'm a continuationist now. And I know our church, you know, has continuationist members. But I'm to the point, like, I think a church that practices the charismatic gifts or something is the best expression of biblical Christianity, and that just means like I'm going to be unsettled here because this view is that important to me. In some ways, this is a second order view for me,
mm-hmm.
and our church does not have it as second order. Like that's something, you know, yeah. If it's going to be a constant state of discontentment for you, it's such a significant change of mind. I could see that would be a reason to go find a church.
Yeah.
That has it as a second order issue. It certainly beats being the kind of person who's constantly complaining or criticizing or
that's exactly
hey, how come
right.
we don't, you know, sometimes those folks, they want to stick around and it's because they want to change the church to their view.
Yeah. And there are times where you can, I mean, if you have the influence and the church wants to possibly change, go for it. But if the church has a position,
I'm saying don't go for it. It's probably not you.
That's right. If the church has,
if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not that person.
Yeah. If the church has a position and you're like trying to change it, man, there's times where if I could just be like totally honest, there's been times as a pastor I'm like, man, just leave. Like, you're obviously not happy here. It's okay just to leave, you know?
Yeah.
And as a pastor, I kind of want you to. Like, it would be good for our body if you stopped grumbling and went somewhere else.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, this is a whole other subject, but I do think there's such a thing as a kind of pruning.
Yeah.
That there may be even, like, the reason the church can't get any momentum missionally or just, you know, growth is because we have this sort of dead limbs that just won't let go.
The pastor spending 15 hours of the week.
We're spending so much time trying to address these things. We can't move forward. And yes, there could be some blessed subtraction that whether even just sort of a maybe a parting of ways that's amicable, and maybe in some cases church discipline if someone is actively divisive and that sort of thing. In either case, there are like, I mean, you're not really with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you want us to be more like you, but we're all kind of decided this is mm-hmm. who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that branch is kind of pruned and maybe grafted into a, you know what I mean? If it's an amicable parting, they find a church that shares that conviction and they grow even better because they're not constantly having to find themselves in a place where they're complaining and criticizing about things.
That's right.
They're more at home now.
Yeah.
You know, it's you wish it didn't have to be that way, but you realize that, you know, sometimes it does.
I think for you and I, Jared, and happy for you to have the final word after this, but something I would want to say is, you know, kind of on the landing the plane on this episode is you and I both have a particular burden for pastors. We both love pastors, and I'm optimistic about pastors. I feel like we're in a day and an age where every time you hear about a pastor, it's like, you won't believe you had another moral failing, or, you know, it's just always negative. And I'm generally optimistic, and I'm optimistic about the kind of pastors that I'm around. They're good men doing good work, and I'm utterly for them. And so I would just say on this subject, if you are going to leave, ask yourself explicitly and maybe even write it down. How can I love and honor my pastor with every step of this process?
Yeah.
And if you have that question at the forefront of your thinking, I do think there are wise ways you can do this. And if that's a question, that's going to be one of the wise ways to do it.
Yeah. So if we can boil it down, when to leave, right? You're moving away. That makes sense. But stay in touch with your church, especially if there's like transitional things. One thing is, like, you know, we reached out recently to a church member who was not responsive. And so we got a rumor wind that they were at a particular church in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
I just reached out to the church and was like, hey, we're looking for so-and-so. And they're like, oh yeah, they're here. And well, that's good. I'm glad they're there. But, you know, it'd be nice if you let your church know this is what I'm doing. I'm pursuing church membership. That takes something off our plate.
That's right.
And I don't have to like keep trying to track you down like a private investigator, you know? Like, I just want to know that you're
back pursuing to true crime
membership somewhere. Yeah, I guess that you're flourishing somewhere. So, yeah, that makes sense that you would leave, but, you know, stay in touch with your church at home so that you have a healthy transfer of membership. Certainly if a church is preaching heresy, there's unchecked, unrepentant sin, you know, abusive leadership, those sorts of things. And I know that's could be a nuanced conversation. You know, if your views have changed and the churches haven't, right? Mm-hmm. Those are all, I think, you know, respectable reasons to, you know, honorable reasons to leave a church. For everything else, just be very slow, circumspect, patient, prayerful, conversational. Talk to your leaders about it. And I probably would stress maybe even don't be talking to other members about the leaders without talking to the leaders.
That's right.
You know, I'm at the point in ministry where I'm not expecting church members not to have conversations with their friends in church about things that, you know, that they're concerned about or have questions about. What I don't like is when they only do that and they don't come talk to us, or they don't come talk to me. I'm finding out they're only talking to their friends, and that is a seedbed, I think, for division and factiousness. So at the very least, you know, talk to your pastors about it as well. If you enjoy the podcast, don't leave us. There's not a good reason to leave the podcast. Instead, give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to or watch your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.